You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so as always, it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. This week, we have Skalk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, and also David Shapiro, who's a regular feature on a Tuesday and a Thursday for the 5 o'clock shadow. David, start with you. I'm not going to ask you if you intoxicated last night, you're hungover, because I know you went to bed at 6:30 or something. That's how you celebrate when you get to when you're stricken in years like you. Telkom, David. The Telkom story is interesting because it incorporates a company with which you are very familiar. Rumors going around about Blue Label. What have you found out?
You know what? If it was going to be Blue Label, Blue Label would have to have put out a cautionary as well.
Yes.
They didn't. And that gives me a clue, because the first thing I looked for once they said they were involved in negotiations was to see whether Blue Label had put something out. So they should have done it. They might not have, because it might come only tomorrow. Or they might have held back because it would have been an absolute clue. But the market obviously responded to that. And it might be that it's LC. You know, that could be the way around. This is not Blue Label, you know, but Blue Label would be selling a 45% stake in CLC, or it might be associated. So there is, you know, there could be that connection. But, I mean, Blue Label up about 10% and Telkom up 6%. It would fit. Yeah, I think it would fit into where Telkom's going. If you read the narrative, you know, from Telkom, I mean, that's where their expansion's going into mobile. That's where they're spending the money. So obviously it would be where they want to be.
Your view on this one? Do you hold this one, Skalk, at PSG Wealth?
No, I'm, again, not holding this. But like David alluded to, I mean, the capex went. I mean, the same moment we've seen this announcement of all of this cautionary, we've also seen Telkom's results, and that was horrible. I mean, let's be honest. But we're talking about CLC for now, and David, you said it. I mean, 4.3 billion rand of the capex, you know, total capital, call it half of that has gone to mobile operations. So, like you said, I mean, this makes sense. This is the area where Telkom is focusing.
But you see, Skalk, what concerns me, what are they going to buy CLC for? Zero. Mm. You know, they're going to have to lay out cash, and it's already chewing at their balance sheet or at their income statement. So can they afford to take on significantly more debt, or is this going to be a share swap or something of that nature? You know, what's the nature of the deal going to be? It might be a dilution. Yeah, it could happen. But they can't afford to increase their debt. That's the only thing that, you know, that struck me. But it could be a swap of shares. Who knows?
Remember, this is not the first time. This is definitely not the first time. In actual fact, it's not the second time either, because they started, you know, holding hands and going out in 2015. In 2017, they sort of said, "Mama, this is time. Let's do this." And we all know what happened back then.
Yeah.
Blue Label Telecom bought that 45%, 5.5 billion. No, sorry, that I think. But I think, Lindsay, we spoke about it yesterday. The tough environment we've seen for Telkom or mobile companies in South Africa. Mm. I mean, hashtag data must fall. I mean, that's eating into most of these companies. And Celsius, unfortunately, I mean, 8 billion rands worth of losses, that's horrible.
It really is. Aspen Pharmacare just keeps on going. It was it finished at around about 117 yesterday, and don't forget it's come from the low 60s. It's now around about 122, I think it is. Withdrawal of cautionary announcement at 20 past 2 today. Now, what is this relating to? They've done the Japanese thing. Is this to do with Europe? What is this, David?
No, this is a Japanese deal. In other words, it was hanging over. They don't need to have it anymore. All they're saying is to do, you know, having done the Japanese deal.
Yes, okay.
That's, I think what's happened is they've removed the stress on their balance sheet. It's now up to them to improve operational performance. So the shares come from, 60 Rand to 120. Mm-hmm. It's running ahead of itself. I think the next thing people are going to now ask, saying, okay, let's deliver the goods. You've done all the cleaning up. You've sold what you've had to sell. You've sold what you could sell. Now start delivering on the story. So, it looks better than it actually is. Go back to a chart. If you look at a chart over the last few years, you'll see the kind of stress that this business has come under. And, you're still well down on those highs that you've seen over the last few years?
Yeah, we came from the mid 400s, 440, 450, down to the low 60s. Now it's doubled in price. Scout, can you bring yourself to buy something that's doubled? Let's say you were just starting. Let's say you were, as you described, how did you describe yourself earlier on when you were on the floor with David, off air? What was the phrase?
It's a little South African phrase, which we call a snotness. And I think David came to my rescue there by saying, what?
If you're
don't know any snotnesses on the floor. So.
But if you were a snotness now, and would you have a look at it and say, it's gone from the low sixes and it's doubled in value over a short period of time. You can't buy this, can you? Not yet.
No, not yet. I think, the underlying, I mentioned it yesterday. This is a beautiful story. This is a stunning South African success story. And there was a few things that's done wrong. I mean, I think the one thing that really, was worrying is how they expanded too quickly and used, these debt levels that inflated. So that's still there. I think this deal will help them. The inflow will help reducing the debt. But now, like you mentioned earlier, now the proof of the pudding will be in the eating.
Yes, indeed. Let's have a look at the spot prices now. The dollar rand is 14.88, British pound against the rand 19.12, euro rand is 16.40 with the euro dollar 110.15. I think Mr. Trump is going to be speaking in around about an hour and three quarters, going to be updating us on trade, or rather his speechwriters will be updating us on trade, and he'll say something completely different. On the commodities front, the gold price is holding on to 14.50, but not convincing. 14.54, we'll call it. Down 2 and a bit. The platinum price is 870, down 6.5. Have you got palladium there, please, Skulk?
No. No, I was unfortunate. We had the discussion earlier. I luckily had it to Rainbow Minerals.
Yeah.
But unfortunately not.
Okay. I haven't
got you want the palladium price.
Palladium price, yeah. That's what I want.
It picked up a little bit. Skulk, I haven't got the exact one now, but I think it had picked up about, while platinum was down quite a lot, I saw that, here you are, palladium, I've got it at 17.11, but I don't know how relevant that is, which was up 1.4%.
It's $57 lower than yesterday. The platinum price is $870, yes, which is $6 lower. So the PGM's coming under pressure. Dow Jones, it's up about 0.2%. S&P at the moment up a third, as is the NASDAQ. FTSE and DAX both doing well, both up around about 0.6%. And, so it's a steady-ish sort of day. Let me have a look now at the most viewed shares, if I can, on ShareNet. So I'm going to have to refresh that thing. So talk amongst yourselves, gentlemen. While we're doing that, before we get to the most viewed, Skelk, anything on your radar? Because I know you traders. David's more of a long-term investor, but you've got this sort of grapevine and chat rooms and all that sort of thing. Anything that anyone's talking about?
Well, I think the one that's also jumped up today was RayNet's continuous buyback of their own shares. I mean, again, we're looking at the shares they bought back, I think, between, last 4 or 5 days. Well, it was another 90 million rands worth of stock that they bought back, which is pretty much, it's now over 600 million rands worth of stock that they bought back. So this is quite an interesting one as well. A company that's historically, running at quite a deep discount to its sum of the parts, now becoming quite interesting. I mean, it's a nice buyback, and there's always a good reason why these companies buy these shares back. So, RayNet is one of them that I would say just have a look at that one.
David, we've spoken about this before. You're not really a big fan of the buyback, are you?
Not really. If it's trading below intrinsic value, yes. Meaning that, if you can buy your shares at a discount to what you believe the share price is, then do it. Not simply because you've got excess money and you don't want to pay out a dividend. So there's got to be relevance. In other words, that can be seen as reinvestment in your own company. So I would, if it's really at a deep discount, I know that's what Joffy's doing now. He's with Long for Life and quite a few businesses. But I think it all depends on at what level you're going to, you're going to buy back shares. I don't follow RayNet, not for any reason that I prefer the more liquid British American Tobacco. But it is changing complexity. Slowly the British BTI or British American Tobacco is becoming diluted within the RayNet framework. I don't follow it that carefully.
Does it also tell you that they've run out of ideas, or there just isn't anything that presents itself?
Let's go talk first. But
no, I would say I do the easy one and say yes.
That's right.
Remember the Renate one is basically the offshore investments, and they've done a lot of investments in China. The Renate itself. So that they've got the British American, and you mentioned earlier they have diluted it fairly rapidly over the last decade. But I mean, I think that they pretty much said it clear. I mean, they've run out of idea. Well, not run out of idea. There's not a lot of opportunities currently internationally, and they see their best opportunity in their own in their own shares.
Right. Most viewed shares today. Aspen, number one, 14.5% of the views on ShareNet. Steinhoff, second. Libstar, third. Those two are always there. And Sabanier, that's also a perennial. It's at least twice a week. It's on the 26.49. I've got delayed screen, up 2.7%. Let's have a look at the big movers to the upside, though. I am delayed, as I told you, but Telkom up around 6.5%. If any of these prices are materially wrong, Skulk, you've got the live score. David, you have as well. Then just pull me up. But anyway, Anglo Platinum up 4.75%. Implats up 3.7%. Now, that's interesting because we've just been talking about the demise of palladium and platinum. What is this all about, I wonder, gentlemen?
You know, one of the Impala and Sabanier have been included in the MSCI Emerging Market Index. But that doesn't explain Amplats.
No.
I don't know whether Anglo Platts has been there or whatever it is, but Anglo Platts very, very strong. I can't reconcile that with the market today, where a platinum price has come under pressure, whether it is to do with the palladium price. I can't see why for me it's peculiar that these platinum prices, have held up, or platinum shares have held up as strong as they have. And it might be an international movement that suddenly, some investors are twigging on to platinum, but very, very strong in an environment which is not really conducive to them going up.
Yeah.
But that has been the news over Tuesday. Yeah, that came through, I think, on Friday afternoon or Monday morning, the changes in the EMs, and it might be to do with that.
On the downside today, Assor down nearly 6%, Sappi down 3.5%, MC Group after yesterday's results, and the share price was in the top five movers to the upside, down today over 3%, Roynet down nearly 3%, and Coronation 2.4% down. Any stories there, Skulk?
This is Coronation has done well recently, but I think it's a small cap day because I mean you just said it was a fairly stable day. We look at a 0.5% day on the market. We look at the mid caps also looking fairly strong. 0.8. We just spoken about platinum, which is up over 3% for the day. But small caps is the only red bar in the market. Down close to 1%. 0.8% So yeah, I think getting back to that point we made yesterday, I mean, I think the liquidity currently in the market is just, there's no liquidity. And the small caps and also some of the mid caps are really feeling it.
Skulk, I don't know whether I think it was on Monday I spoke to Lindsay. There was an article in the Financial Times over the weekend talking about reducing trading hours. But the point I picked up, which I spoke to Lindsay about, was yesterday.
Yesterday.
We're only Tuesday. Yesterday was that 35% of trade in the UK or in the London Stock Exchange takes place in the closing auction. And that's the influence of ETFs. And I think we see a similar issue now as here on our market as well, where you get this massive movement, and the ETFs dominate, and ETFs are big caps, generally big caps.
That's the reason for the platinum moves. Because the people say, well, rather than going and picking Sabanier and picking, isn't it just possible, just go and buy a gold ETF, go buy a platinum ETF
from small caps, because the ETF markets are becoming so big and dominated by the people who issue them that, the private clients that we knew back in those days in the floors, and I think even before that, back in the 90s or 70s, 80s, the private client used to dominate heavily and still used to have an individual portfolio in which they would seek those small caps, which is gone. We don't do that anymore. Certainly on our market, there's very, very limited exposure to smaller businesses. Lindsay, I don't know.
That's okay. Explain this to me then. So in the old days, in the good old days, when you two worked on the floor in an office when things were simpler. A client would phone you up at 10 in the morning, 12 in the afternoon, and you'd have just be handling these individual orders, whether they were on small caps or large caps. With the ETF, what happens is all the money gets pooled, and because of the power of these ETFs, and they're so big, they can only do the sort of volume that they need to in the auction. Is that correct? Mm. Either of you can answer this one.
Well, I you don't need to do it in the auction, but I think they prefer not to do it in the auction. But I think what David has alluded to is basically that final, let's call it an hour, before the market closes. That's where the most traders. I don't know for some reason that's where we overlap.
I think they want to set the price. Yeah, I think that's they want the price of the day, or they set the price of the day. Mm. I don't understand how the ETFs work and what the tracking. You know, how they track whatever they're supposed to be tracking and that. But it appears that they do the trade in those last few minutes in order to set the price, which will obviously set the price for the ETF. We're going to need someone who knows that market a bit better to explain it.
Maybe David, it's similar to what we had on the floor, where you said, typically leave that with me. And you'll trade that at 4 o'clock after 4 o'clock, bulls and bears after bulls and bears on a Friday afternoon.
But the reason I say this is because when I used to be a so-called trader, I was just a broker for a listed JSE company, and I was based in Cape Town. It was in the days when Dimension Data and Data Tech, and there was a couple of others as well, not as big as those two, but we had a tech fund, and the bloke used to get all his orders in, his inflows in throughout the day, and he wouldn't phone me up and say, Lindsay, buy 10,000 Dimension Data. He would wait and consolidate all the orders, and at 4:15 every day he said, right, buy this, buy that, buy this, buy that, in those four stocks, all in one go. And that's why I wondered if that's what the ETFs do, as money accumulates.
I really can't give you an expert opinion on this one. All I can do is I monitor the trade on a day-to-day basis. And just to give you an idea, just as I was preparing some notes here, we were at 16.4 billion just before the closing auction. We closed at 19.2. So you can see, that happens on a regular basis. So you're getting 3 billion, which is like 20% literally in the last few minutes. I must say one thing that I keep picking up and is that Impala recently has been a mammoth trader. You know, huge trade going through, and whether it's related to the MSCI, I don't know. But just monitoring it on a day basis, one learns what become the big traders. It's Nice First Processor with the banks, Standard Bank, and First Rand. But suddenly, over the last couple of weeks, Impala has made this entry and is one of the regulars in trading. I see Sasol's also been a big trader today.
Hmm.
What we can make of all this detail? Not really anything. I just bring it up for.
No, it's interesting. It's just the way that things are changing. But anyway, David, staying with you, Singles Day. You were speaking about it on Monday with me, and it's the Alibaba Singles Day, which is the biggest retail day of the year for that company. I don't know if it's Tencent as well. It probably is, but I think they did $38 billion worth of trade yesterday.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah. Well, I put out a tweet, and it was one of these innocuous tweets that really you just make up. You say, hell, 38 billion equals 560 billion rand thereabouts, and it depends what you do. And then I went to Alec Abraham, who's our retailer, and I said, just give me the turnover, ShopRite. This is annual turnover. So this is one day, 560 billion. Annual turnover of ShopRite, 195. Annual turnover of Spar, like 100. And, and so I went and I put all our retailers together, give or take, the big ones. And I got to 660 billion over a year. This was 560 billion in 24 hours.
It's extraordinary.
So you can get the perspective of what kind of trade goes through. It's an astonishing number, that was put through. And when you look at the detail, the number of transactions, I mean, how they handle this and how they're going to actually deliver is staggering, but what a number.
Unbelievable. Gosh, yeah. And Tencent was part of that as well. Did they have their own day? Was it just Alibaba? No.
JD is the other one that has quite a bit big. You know, I think Tencent is much more a communications gaming type, and they might have that. I don't know if they've got it. Do they have that e-commerce side of it? But it's really Alibaba's day. You know, they started it, and you're supposed to. It was started because it was a Chinese tradition, you know, where you respect the singles and you buy yourself something because you're a miserable bastard, you know, with, you've got no partner, you know, so you treat yourself.
There's a lot of singles out there, clearly.
Yeah, there's some stuff going on here. 72 and he's Skull, give us the closing JSE indices and the final volume, which David has already given us, but just tell us if there's been an update, please.
Okay, I don't have some volumes here, but I can give you the closing. So,
go on, then.
The all share is up 275, well, 276 points. So that's half a percent, just shy of 0.5% up for today. Top 40 up 0.57%. Industrials up 0.52%. Like I mentioned, mid caps 80 basis points up, small caps 80 basis points down. And I think the biggest mover in the let's call it sectoral area is the platinum minings. Like I mentioned, that's up 3.4%. Just quickly touching on the resources, industrials, financials. Resources up 70 basis points, industrials up 63 basis points, and financials 52 basis points. So in general, pretty good day.
Not bad at all. Now, my quote of the day today is not so much a quote, but an observation. Because Sir Richard Branson is in South Africa at the moment, and he put out a tweet with a photograph attached to it. And I'll read it to you. It comes from the BBC. Sir Richard Branson has apologised for a photo he used to mark the launch of his new Branson Centre for Entrepreneurship in South Africa. The entrepreneur tweeted a photo which was criticised for failing to reflect the diversity of South Africa. And including him, there are 9 people in the picture, all entrepreneurs. Every single one is white. And it says here, there was a fashion designer by the name of Tula Cindy who tweeted the following: "Where did you find so many white people in South Africa?" It's caused a little bit of a ruffle, but he's apologised at least. Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much for that. Skelt Lewis from PSG Wealth, portfolio manager there, and David Shapiro is deputy chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.